This is a summary given by Rav Amital for Parshas Matos. It was delivered in 1997 during Parshas Matos Maaseh, Friday night, and it spoke about the role of Nedarim and what role they play in our religious identity and practice. Rav Amital first noted the strange beginning, the strange opening of Parshas Matos. Vayedaber Moshe Rashi HaMatos L'vnei Yisrael L'emor Zeh HaDavar Asher Tzva Hashem. Most moments in which Moshe delivers Torah, it's a straightforward Vayedaber Moshe B'nei Yisrael. And here, Moshe prefaces his comments, Zeh HaDavar Asher Tzva Hashem. Rav Amital believed that evidently this irregularity stems from the other anomalous element of this pasuk, that Moshe doesn't speak directly to the broader population, but speaks to the tribal heads. El Rashi Hamatos Livnei Yisrael, a quainter of Amital, and I don't know how he knew this or how he intuited this, but the heads of the tribes had inquired from Moshe Rabbeinu whether the entire world of Nedarim was appropriate. They had asked him whether people should be taking Nedarim, and because the answer was affirmative, then Moshe had to reinforce and to emphasize Zeh HaDavar Asher Tzivah Hashem. Again, I don't know the statement of Chazal. The Ramban speaks about why the heads of the Matos are incorporated into the preface. Rav Amital felt as if this question about whether additional oaths and Nedarim were appropriate was something which the Nesiim or the Rashi HaMatos had already sensed. They had inquired of Moshe. In response to their inquiry, Moshe reaffirms that they are indeed beneficial and appropriate. But that just raises the question as to whether and why Nedarim are perilous and toxic or helpful. And Rav Amital, of course, in a very balanced fashion, spoke about the fact that obviously adding chumros indicates a love, a commitment, a passion, a concern, an interest, a vigilance. But he also wanted to warn us against the danger of Nedarim. And of course, for Rav Amital, the Neder wasn't just an oath. It was iconic of chumros, of additional measures that people take in an attempt to personalize religion. And I think that Rav Amital's treatment, in the broader sense, is very reflective of his revolution. Rav Amital sought a revolution of the Torah world and of the yeshiva model. He felt pressure on two fronts. Internally, he felt that the models of yeshiva, which were just simply being pasted or copied and pasted from the European model, were solely deficient in facing some of the challenges of a new world and a new state. They were dry, they were ossified, they were outdated, they were inauthentic because they encouraged people to posture themselves and position themselves in societies that had long since expired. I think today, the world that I think sees itself as perpetuating what they believe to be the yeshiva model, the Lithuanian yeshiva model, has become robust enough that it has an internal symmetry or an internal integrity, because there are people who really are replicating or trying to wholesale replicate the way they believe life was conducted in Europe in the pre-war era in certain cultural fashions. One can argue whether it's true, whether it's not. Again, I'm an outsider, so I'm just assuming that some people would articulate this vision and this agenda. But in the late 60s and the early 70s, when Rav Amital was looking for a voice or a manifestation of Torah in the yeshiva world, he felt that it had to be refreshed from its previous models. On the other hand, Torah had to be sold, so to speak, to a very virulent and vehemently anti-religious, national, secular Zionist-led community. And it had to be sold not just as a value, but as a value that would justify compromising or diminishing and reducing army service time in on behalf of Hesder. Remember, at this point, when Rav Amital is distilling his thoughts on yeshiva and the yeshiva world, there really is only one Hesder yeshiva, the original Keren B'Yavne yeshiva, and the Rosh Yeshiva of Keren B'Yavne, Rav Chaim Golovich, Zecher Tzedek Livracha, is articulate and pretty vocal that in his mind, army service is really b'dievet, and the entire Hesder model is b'dievet, even to his own students. And Rav Amital is searching for a Hesder lechachila model. So he's trying to refresh. He sees himself as a revolutionary. He's trying to be creative. renewing and reviving, but he's also trying to maintain an anchor to the classic institutions and to institutions in general. And I've spoken about this a lot, and every time I go back and I read Rav Amital rearticulating this, reminds me, I think, where I received this notion from. How do you become a revolutionary but work within convention? And how do you become someone that devises new ideas but is an institutionalist rather than breaking models and rebuilding them, which is the easiest way to launch a revolution? How do you build revolutionary ideas as refreshers to classic institutions and classic conventions? And this is a shir and a sikha, which I think tries to calibrate those two. Because without question, adopting a neder or a chumrah is an attempt to personalize religion, an attempt to make religion different, unique, personal, individual, so that it isn't just the common, universal, generic religion which everyone practices. But yet there are dangers. Some of the dangers are just unrelated. So for example, when the Rambam in Hilchos Nedarim, Perek Aleph, describes the danger of Nedarim, describing a Gemara Nedarim, the Gemara Nedarim says that if a person says he's taking a neder like the tzaddikim do, then that neder is irrelevant, is incoherent, because tzaddikim don't typically take Nedarim. But if he articulates his neder, kenidre rishayim, raise a neder. He says, I'm taking an oath like the rishayim, like the disobedient or criminal people do, then the neder takes hold, because that's a coherent statement, because typically nedarim are adopted by rishayim. So that's a real smoking gun. It's a red flag that nedarim are associated with the world of rishayim, not with the world of tzaddikim. And inasmuch as a neder is a code or a symbol for a chumrah, this is a very powerful statement about the danger of a chumrah. So the Rambam describes this in Hilchos Nedarim Perek Aleph as perhaps related to unholy motives for neder. The Rambam talks about someone who takes a neder out of anger. He encounters a situation, a danger, which frustrates him or unnerves him. And in response, he takes a neder that he'll never return to that location, or that a certain person who perturbs him shouldn't get benefit from his property. He wants to create quick fixes to disturbing situations rather than addressing these situations with poise and equanimity. So there's nothing inherently dangerous about a neder. It's merely the motive and the grounds for the neder that sometimes can be criminal. But in contrast to this Rambam, Rav Amital cited a different Rambam based on a statement of Rabbi Nassan. Rabbi Nassan said, and I've personally spoken about this statement in the context of Chumras as well. I am assuming based on a lot of what Rav Amital taught us, it's hard sometimes to remember exactly what Torah your Rebbe taught you and what Torah you developed on your own thoughts. Sometimes they tend to merge. Now that I'm sitting in front of an actual text of Rav Amital Sicha from Parshas Matos Maaseh from about 20 years ago, I remember him articulating these ideas. Vinasan says that the act of adopting an oath or a neder is similar to building a bama. A bama was an extracurricular, personalized shrine. Rather than offering your karbanos in the Beis HaMikdash, you offered a karban on a personal hilltop in your backyard or in your immediate precincts. And in the Rambam's initial conversation of this Gemara, the Rambam addresses neder from a positive vantage point. Again, just never to be simplistic or black and white or one-dimensional in our treatment of an issue. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Nedarim, Perek Yud Gimel, Misha Nadar Nedarim, a person who takes extra Nedarim, in order to calibrate his thoughts, L'chonein Dayosav, in order to ameliorate his behavior, L'takein Masav, Hareza Zareza Meshubach. So again, if it's taken with calm and with judgment and discretion, rather than impulsively and out of anger or out of panic, the Rambam seems to be very favorable towards it. So the Rambam cites an example of someone who's a glutton for meat and decides to forswear meat for a year or two. Someone who's intoxicated with wine and prohibits any intake of wine. Someone who's very greedy and prohibits free money or gifts. Someone is very arrogant and vain about their looks, becomes a nazir to disfigure themselves. The Rambam writes, Kulan derech avoda l'shem hein. They're all proper expressions of avoda. And the Rambam cites the Mishnah, Im Maseches Avos, Nedarim Siag L'Prishus. That taking a neder is a way to create a fence that will allow a person to create distance between very dangerous experiences of vanity, of wine, of gluttony, of greed and avarice. So the Rambam in Hilchos Nedarim Perek Yud Gimel Halachachav Gimel describes the favorable aspects of a neder taken in a calm state of mind. But the Rambam qualifies. In the next halacha, Chav Dalet Chav Hei, Af Al Pi Shein Avoda, they're part of a healthy religious diet. Lo Yarbe Adam Benidrei Iser. Person shouldn't multiply or create extra nedarim. V'lo yargil atzmo b'hem, not just the volume, but the frequency. Ela yifrosh mi divarim sheroi, lifrosh mehem b'lo neder. He should focus on the primary isurim rather than on these additives. So the Rambam, when he describes his critique of nedarim, and of course the experience of Bama, is an ambiguous experience, and it creates a lot of ambivalence. On the one hand, the Rambam teased out favorable perspectives, extra korbanos. On the other hand, Chazal were always cautious about the world of Bamos, and that caution extended to the world of Nedarim, which is symbolically built on the image of a Bama. And for the Rambam, the problem seems to be just the multiplication of Isurim and perhaps a multiplication of Isurim, which could distract a person from the core. And Rami Tal spoke about this a lot. He quoted a Yushalmi in Nedarim, Lo dayecha b'masha asur Torah, a person who takes extra Isurim, again, extra Chumros, not to create an exact equation between Nedarim and Chumros, but symbolically, conceptually, they're playing the same function in the religious lifestyle. Obviously, a Chumra is an attempt to protect a core halacha, a Nedar is creating an additional halacha, but it carries similar connotations. The Yushalmi Nedarim says, Lo dayecha b'masha asra Torah, by adding Yisurim or Chumros, not enough for you to follow the Torah's Yisurim, Ela shata oser alacha devarim acherim. You're looking to add extra Yisurim, extra prohibitions. And for Avamital, it wasn't just the distraction, although he spoke about distractive religious activity on other locations, that somehow by just adding layer and layer of chumrah, you're lesser able to discern, to distinguish between kor halacha and chumros minhagim, which sometimes have to be suspended for particular exigencies, which shouldn't necessarily carry the same gravity or the same investment emotionally as kor halacha. But for Rav Amital, this whole process and the critique was suggestive of someone looking to personalize religion. I'll read you some of the, again, this was not obviously written on Shabbos, but the summary. Hanoder rotze litzar derech mishalo bavodas Hashem. He's looking for his personal route. And the chumros or nedarim are an opportunity to personalize. He's dissatisfied with the mitzvos that apply to everyone. Looking to express his personal religious energy to donate something of himself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates a new iser. And in his issuing this critique, the Yishalmi lo dayecha b'masha asra Torah, Rabbi Nassan comparing it to Obama, Each HaTorah Omeres, Rav Amital felt the Torah is declaring she'in zeh haderech haruya. Why? And here's the punchline. Adam eino tzarech lifrosh mehamizgeres shel hatzibur v'lislol netivim chadashim ve'atzmaim b'dvaris Hashem. A person shouldn't deviate from everyone else, from the standard, from the norm. Whether it's the communal standard, or especially in Rav Amital's case, the historical standard, the conventional models of how Torah was studied. Even when looking to personalize, a person has to be careful not to become a secessionist, someone that delights or indulges in being a separatist, and also not to become so dismantling of convention and revolutionary that he completely repudiates or disavows any traditional models. And to Rav Amital, that seam or that boundary is right at the juncture of a neder. Why are you focusing so much on a neder I understand the attempt to personalize and individualize, but you're breaking away from the standard convention, the common communal performance, in the search of something new and energetic. And he quoted, as he always did, a Chiddush HaRim, the grandfather of the Sfas Emes. It's a beautiful pasuk in Tehillim Kuf Yutes, a parak that has 176 psukim, 8 psukim for each letter. One of the psukim, which begin with the letter Ches, states, Chishavti derechai, v'yashiva raglai, el edosecha. David HaMelech says, I've thought about my path, and I return, my feet return me to your mitzvos. Chishavti derechai, I calculate my options, my paths in life, and my feet take me to your Torah. Based on this pasuk, the Medrash comments that every day David HaMelech reflected, Ribbono Shel Olam, it's a Medrash, a very well-known Medrash in the beginning of Bichul Kosai, Kol Yom Vayom Isi Mechashe V'Omer, every morning I reckoned, L'makom Ploni L'beis Dira Ploni Sani Holech, I'm going to target this destination, that option, this house, that home, and yet my feet return me to the Beis Medrash. It's a very, very peculiar Medrash. It suggests that David HaMelech had alternate plans to go to alternate locations other than the Beis Medrash, but somehow almost he was conditioned to return against his better interests, against his judgment. What is his internal dilemma? David HaMelech aspires to other locations but is drawn ineluctably back to the Beis Medrash. For the Chiddush HaRim, it's exactly Rav Amital's point. Of course, Rav Amital took it from the Chiddush HaRim. Every day, David HaMelech looked to personalize religion, to find new vistas, new horizons, new opportunities, new homes, new areas. But inevitably, he comes back to the Beis Medrash. You have to find personalization not in new areas, but in the classic Beis Medrash. And there's probably no one Medrash that captures Rav Amital's program and agenda in creating a Shivat Har Etzion in this Medrash, to create something new, but within the classic Lithuanian model of a yeshiva. And in memory of Rav Amital and his yard site, this is a perfect medrash to consider. And Chumrah was that very seductive, enticing religious experience that could upset this very delicate balance. Rav Amital, of course, had this historical perspective, and he still remembered the time when people would speak about Chumrahs that particular Gedolim adopted, the Chumrah of the Chazon Ish, the Chumrah of the Brisker Rav. And he felt that in our day, people no longer retold those stories, because once a chumrah was affiliated or associated with a particular gadol, it became almost mandatory for the entire collective. And everyone had to adopt the chumrah, so it was no longer seen as a special chumrah to be associated as a legendary story about a particular gadol searching for personalized religious meaning, having climbed and acquired such significant heights and looking for that next summit. But it became almost mandatory in our collective search for institutionalized chumras. And he lamented this, Rav Amital. And the lament was not just because of distracting yourself from the core, but because you're seceding from the community and from the classic anchor of halacha. And he actually shared something with us that I wasn't aware and still haven't found corroborated, but Rav Amital said that in the classic chassidus, in Musar movements, people used to be given symbolic malkos. We're well aware that in Europe, people were given symbolic malkos between Mincha Maariv, which is one of the sources for beginning Maariv with the pasuk V'rachum Yechaper Avon. This is a pasuk which was recited in the days of Chazal when malkos was administered, and it was maintained even in the application and the administration of symbolic malkos. So symbolic malkos were administered for people who violated Isurim. But Rav Amital told us that even for people who took chumras, which were inappropriate, which didn't suit their current religious level, they were given malkus. Not because, of course, chumras inherently are wrong, they're an expression of Yirat Shamayim, but you have to find the suitability. And suitability has to reflect your current level and has to allow you to maintain membership and integration within the community within which you live. So the chumras shouldn't create divisions and deviances. and in a larger historical sense within previous models, even in the search for personalized religion. And as a final commentary, he felt that in our generation, I certainly feel that it's become even more pronounced 30, 40, years, 20 years later, people are excelling in the mechanical performance of mitzvos, and chumras certainly accelerate and facilitate this, but perhaps internally, there may be less identification, less passion, less emotional involvement, because chumras have a way of heightening and accentuating performance externally, mechanically, but perhaps because they're not always reflective of a person's state of mind, so they create an emotional short circuit by posing someone you're not. It's very difficult to feel authentic, and the authenticity begins to suffer. So it was a very, very intriguing and very provocative discussion of chumros. Rav Amital sensed that the chumros carried ambivalence with them. That's why the Rashi Hamatos inquired as to their viability, and Moshe responded affirmatively. They can be affirmed as having favorable roles in expressing both extra passion as well as the desire for personalization of religion. Their dangers were threefold, two more peripheral, but one which Rav Amital really focused on. One, they could be taken out of inappropriate motives, out of anger, out of reflexive, impetuous response to a particular situation rather than cool-headed, deliberate response. Number two, they can be distracting from the core. But most importantly, in the search for personalization, a person can abandon the community within which he lives, and that becomes very blatant and glaring and a cause for strife and for divisiveness and secession. A person can also abandon the classic model in the search for something new and different. And these are ideas which are very, very powerfully felt 2018 in the national religious world. And as a subset of that, people can over-exaggerate the external performance of a mitzvah, sometimes at the cost of inner authenticity, which sometimes chumras can seriously and severely challenge. I hope that this short summary of a sicha have given people a little bit of a sense of the challenges Rav Amital was facing and the very delicate manner in which he was a traditionalist seeking revolutionary ideas.